But I noticed, I don't know how I noticed this, but I noticed that we have Rosh Chodesh Adar coming. Right? It's not this coming week, it's the week, right? What's today's date in Adar? In Shvat, today's Kaf Bet. So next week when we don't have class, what are you doing next week?
Sleeping late.
Sleeping late, okay. Okay. So we're very happy that we're off next week. So very soon we will have Rosh Chodesh Adar Aleph, the first Adar, and I know this shouldn't come as a surprise because this is one of these calendrical phenomenon that take place every X amount in every Y amount of years. How often?
4 and 7.
What?
4 and 7.
No, it's 7 and 19, I believe it is. We have a 19-year cycle. Yeah, we have a 19-year cycle, 7 times 19 years. So this should not be one of these laws that one absolutely doesn't remember, even though it's one of these laws that people absolutely don't remember. So what are our possibilities? Let's just start with this. What are the possibilities? This year, as a number of other years, we have two Adars. You don't hear the question yet. So here's the question. What is the nature or the status of the first Adar? Adar Aleph. Is Adar Aleph Adar? Right? Or is it something else? That's really the question. Well, let's get to that as well. Which means, in a sense, you can say, can the real Adar please stand up? What is the real Adar? And here we have various possibilities. One possibility is, which I think you're more inclined to accept, is that the second Adar is the real Adar. The evidence that the second Adar is the real Adar is because you're telling me because that's when we have Purim, so therefore that's the second Adar. Now, while whether or not that is an absolute opinion among all early authorities is a separate question, and that's maybe something that we'll see as well. So we'll assume right now that the second Adar is the real Adar. If, in fact, the second Adar is the real Adar, then we now revert to another question. So what is the nature of the first Adar? Is the first Adar also Adar? Is the first Adar, is it a second Shvat, in a sense? Or is it just this halachic no man's land? Now, for what difference does all this make? So the first obvious difference is when are you going to have Purim? So that you think is not much of an issue because that far your memories do work, and you remember that that Purim is in the second Adar. Okay, what about Bar Mitzvah? What about Bat Mitzvah? What about Yortzeit? Right. So there are some other issues, and then if you just want to complicate it a little bit more, you can raise the question: what if somebody is born in a first Adar? So will the bar mitzvah be in a regular Adar afterwards? Will it be not? What if a person's born in a second Adar? Will the bar mitzvah be in a first Adar in a regular Adar or only in Nisan subsequently? Same thing having to do with Yortzeit. What if somebody, and this is a particular favorite, what if which took up far more time and place in halakhic literature than you could imagine? What if somebody was born on the first, if there are 2 days of Rosh Chodesh Adar Aleph, say that again. If there's 2 days of Rosh Chodesh Adar Aleph, so what's the first day? So if somebody's born on Lamed Shvat, when will their bar mitzvah be? But it's the first. But on the next year there is no Lamed Shvat, because then on the year of the. Shvat always has Lamed. My son always has Lamed. I'm not completely convinced that you're right, but I'll whether there's a leap year or not. I'm not, as I said, I'm not. I will. Yeah.
Problem or a different problem?
Right. So are these right? Are these idiosyncrasies within a calendar, or is there something more to? Right. So okay, good. So that's also an issue. Let's take a look at the first Mishnah, source number one, Mishnah. Kar'u et ha-Megillah ba'adar ha-Rishon. You already read, in this case, the Megillah in Adar Aleph. Vinit Abra Hashana. What does that mean? Oh, yeah. No one wants to translate as the year got pregnant. Okay. Vinit Abra Hashana. And you made a leap year. Karinota Ba'adar Sheni. So here's a case. You already read it in what is Adar Aleph. And now you have to read it in Adar Aleph. Now, the question, of course, would be why. The question would be why. After. Correct. That's what sounds so far in this first case in the Mishnah. They made it afterwards. So now the question would be why. So in retrospect, what was this previous month? Was this previous month, was it also an Adar? Or I say, no, this previous month was not really Adar. So let's now leave that as a question. But I think the evidence so far would point in one question, in one direction. And then we have a statement in the Mishnah which sounds like a more general statement. Ein bein Adar ha-Rishon la-Adar ha-Sheni. There's really no difference between the first Adar and the second Adar, Ela Kriyat Megillah Umatanot Levyonim. The only differences would be reading of the Megillah and giving gifts to the poor. Now, a whole bunch of things are left out in terms of this Mishnah. What? Well, Tanit Esther will be the last thing that anybody will mention, and I'll tell you a secret why that is the case, and that is because they didn't know about Tanit Esther. A matter of fact, whether Tanit Esther was even possible during those times is a question for a side reason that you may not have considered, and I'll just tell you what that side reason very quickly. There was something which existed in temple times which was known as Megillat Ta'anit. Has anybody ever heard of it? Megillat Ta'anit would generally... First of all, what is it, and when are we familiar with it? Megillat Ta'anit is a list of fast days, really days which are days of importance, days which are that you can fast or you can't fast, so really it's a list of holidays from the time of the Second Temple. It is one of the earliest collections of Torah Sheba'al Peh. It is one of the earliest written forms. The place that we're familiar with it is Hanukkah, because the whole story of Hanukkah is written at first in Megillat Ta'anit, and the section there that we have in the Gemara really comes from Megillat Ta'anit. Now, one of the things it says about Megillat Ta'anit is you're not allowed to fast the day before Hanukkah or the day before Purim. So if you can't fast the day before Hanukkah and the day before Purim, it sounds quite unlikely that they had Ta'anit Esther. A matter of fact, and I've discussed this in the past at some point, Ta'anit Esther is not mentioned in Megillat Esther. It's not mentioned in the Mishnah. It's not mentioned in the Gemara. It's first mentioned, we find some Rishonim mentioning it. Tosfot claims it is in the Gemara. If Tosfot were here, he would say, oh, no, there is a line that really does mean Ta'anit Esther.
But didn't say when or how.
Well, we know exactly when it is. According to the Gemara, that's Nisan, right? That's Nisan. Yeah. So Ta'anit Esther in the Megillah is not the day before Purim. Where this custom came from is a relatively late custom. It is not on the same status or stature as the other four minor fast days, quote-unquote. Obviously, Yom Kippur is a Torah level. The other ones, Tzom Gedalia, Asar V'Tevet, Shavuos V'Tammuz, and Tisha B'Av, all of those have a certain status, which, of course, Tisha B'Av being the most stringent of those four, where even the fast starts the night before, Ta'anit Esther is weaker than all those other fast days. It is a fast... Ta'anit Berchorot is also relatively weak. Ta'anit Esther is weaker than all the other fast days, and if there are reasons for one to break the fast, that will be the one where one will be most willing to give a psak in order to break it. Ta'anit Esther this year will come out on a Thursday, which will create its own issues once again, because Purim is on Motzai Shabbat, and those of you who lived in a walled city, it is on Sunday nights, which is also kind of a good thing to break up the fast and reading of the Megillah anyway. That's just my sense. But what other things could have been mentioned over here in the Mishnah? Because over here it says, the only difference in Adar Rishon and Adar Sheni is the reading of the Megillah Matanot Levyonim. Of course, there are various things that we would have expected to see here which are not here, which, by the way, for the most part are ignored. What about the Seudah? What about Mishloach Manot? So presumably, they're all concluded within Matanot Levyonim. That is all together, all the foodstuffs come together over there. But there are other issues which no one's mentioned yet. For example, what about reading the four parshiot? The four parshiot are also Adar connected. So what happens if you've already read the four parshiot? Do you read them again? What's the implication from the Mishnah that we just now read? Is that you would not read them again. Why? Because the only difference is regarding the Megillah, and what sounds to be the extension, which means really Purim, is in the second Adar. Now, why Purim is the second Adar still would need to be clarified, but it sounds from this that the first Adar is also Adar. The Gemara right away says, Hala inyan seder parshiot zev is a shavin. But regarding the four parshiot, both are equal. So presumably at this point in the Gemara, if you read the four parshiot in the first Adar, and at the very end of that first Adar, where you've already kept Purim, the rabbis make this determination that they need to add another month. So at that point, you would not, again, from what we understand so far, you would not repeat the Arba parshiot. You would read the Megillah and have Purim again. And we're still left to our question, what about our young man who already prepared one parsha for his bar mitzvah and read it and got his presents already, and most importantly, they already threw candy at him. Is he really bar mitzvah or is he not bar mitzvah? And obviously the same for our young... And obviously the same for our young bat mitzvah, and the same question regarding a yahrzeit, that somebody who already said Kaddish and somebody who already maybe even fasted, some people have accustomed to fast on the yahrzeit, so he already fasted, he already said Kaddish, and now lo and behold, he's told that there's another Adar, does he have to do these things again? So I'm saying these are the kinds of questions which will emerge. By the way, within all this, one of the questions that come up is regarding the fast. This is a fast written in the Shulchan Aruch, which is not written in the Gemara as a fast day, but there are those who took it upon themselves to fast on Zayin Adar. Why? Because it's a yahrzeit. Whose yahrzeit is it? Moshe. So now which Adar is it? Is the fast of Zayin Adar, is it Adar Aleph or Adar Bet? Which, by the way, for that matter, when did Moshe Rabbeinu die? Did he die in Adar Aleph or Adar Bet? Or neither, and even that is subject to a machloket. And even that is subject to a machloket. If you're interested in seeing more about that than you ever imagined you would like, that's the last source I have over here, source 21, a whole tshuva from Rav Avadia, bringing all kinds of sources regarding Yahrzeit generally, but a lot of it is the math involved of when Moshe Rabbeinu actually died as a starting point in that. Yes? Right. Just right before Nisan, it's three of the parshiot. That's still not the issue. The issue is if you read Parshat Zachor, you need to read it again. If you read Shkalim, you need to read it again. Right. Okay. So far, yes.
This isn't an issue for us today because we know.
Okay, we'll see. We'll see. We'll see in a second. Okay, we'll see. We'll see somebody who takes that into account. So the Gemara then says, "Mani matnitan." Who does this Mishnah go like? Lo tanakama, v'lo v'lez b'rbiyosi, v'lo b'shem v'gamliel. Which means the Gemara is aware of a three-way machloket regarding our Adar intrigue, and it says it sounds like the Mishnah doesn't follow any of these opinions. The Tanya, as we learned in the Braita, this is found in the Tosefta. Karuwa to Megillah ba'Adar Rishon v'nitabra Hashana karina to ba'Adar Sheni. Shekol mitzvot shenogot b'sheni nogot b'rishon chutz mikra Megillah. What's that first opinion? The Tanakhama, what's the first opinion? You read it in the first month, and they make a leap year. You need to read it again. Why? Shekol mitzvot shenogot b'sheni nogot b'rishon. Which means, according to this opinion, Adar Aleph is Adar regarding all things with the exception of one thing. What's the one exception? Mikra Megillah. Chutz Mikra Megillah. So first opinion is, Adar Aleph is Adar, except for one issue. What's that one issue? Mikra Megillah. We don't even know here about Matanot Le'uvinim and other things, just Mikra Megillah. So it sounds like Purim, at least parts of Purim, or maybe all of Purim, are in the second, but everything else, the first Adar is Adar. If this were the case, this would be very simple for all of my other questions that I posed. The kid who has a birthday on Yud Adar is Bar or Bat Mitzvah on Yud Adar, the Yortzeit, first Adar is already done because that was Adar, but we have some kind of special idea, which we don't know why that is the case yet, that Purim needs to be in the second Adar, or at least reading the Megillah. Rabbi Elazar ben Yossi Omer.
And if you're born or death takes place in the second Adar,
you may still be alive. No, I'm kidding. If So, that's going to be another question that will then emerge. Rabbi Lezer, Rabbi Yossi, Omer, Ein Karino Taba Adar Hasheni. No, if you read it already in the first Adar, you're done. Why? Because according to Rabbi Lezer and Rabbi Yossi, the first Adar is Adar. So here we have, you know, an absolute decision. Adar 1 is Adar 100%. And then what's that other month? This Adar Bet that we call. What is that second month? It's a filler. It's a filler because we need to kill some time because we're not quite by Nisan. Why are we not, according to this opinion, why do you need a filler at this particular juncture? Because the Torah law of making Nisan in the springtime, right? So therefore, Purim could be obviously before then. I don't care if the Shkediah is Parachat or not Parachat. I can have Purim earlier. See, let's just think about this for a second. Just to think this through for one more second. Normally, this time of year, the Shkediah would be Parachat. Okay? Just very, very simply stated. Normally this time of year, Tu Bishvat has come and gone. You would look outside, you would see, and by the way, it's automatic. It happens every year. Oh, but it didn't happen this year. So maybe, the Shkediah, no, Tu Bishvat is early, but the Shkediah I'm talking about, the main thing, the song, please. The Shkediah was not Parachat. Okay? So now I could therefore say that that Adar Aleph is not really Adar Aleph, it's Shvat Bet. Because by the time we get to Yud Dalet, Tetvav, Adar Aleph, by that point, the Shkediah will be Parachat, and by that, right? Because, again, think about it, Rosh Hashanah was very early, Hanukkah was very early, Tu B'Shvat was very early, so therefore we need to push things off a bit. But what's this, right? So I'm saying, how do I look at Adar Aleph? Is Adar Aleph basically Shvat Bet, or is Adar Aleph completely, it's Adar? So what... So that's a very good point. Maybe they would have called it Shvat Bet, except for a problem which you already know, but you're not processing yet. Let's continue. Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel Omer Mishum Rabbi Yossi Af Karin Otoba Adar Hasheni, that you read it in the second Adar Shekol Mitzvot Shnogin V'Sheni. So what's this last opinion? I'm going to Bishim Rabbi Yossi, that the first Adar is nothing. So here we have, so we basically have three different opinions. What was our three different opinions? The first one is Adar, the second one is Adar, or they're both Adar. Okay, so now you realize that even though we know this very well, what the real law is, we see that among the Tanaim, there was not the same clarity that we have. Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, Hainu Tanakama. So it says that Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel is the same opinion as the Tanakama. And the right, Amar of Papa, Seder Parshut Ikibinayhu. No, the difference between the two has to do with the Seder Parshut, meaning the Arba Parshut, the Tanakama Savar, Lechachila Bisheni, V'i Avud Barishon Avud. Bar Mimikra Megillah de Afagav de Kor Barishon, Kor Bisheni. Rabbi Lezer Rabbi Yossi Savar, Afilu Mikra Megillah, Lechachila Barishon. Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel Savar, Afilu Seder Parshut. So the Gemara over here is just trying to work out whose opinion is whom, and finally it ends up and it says, right before we underline again, it says, the line before that, La'olam Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel, which means the law really is like Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel. What was his opinion? Right, only the second one is the real Adar. Umatnitan chasuri michsara, and our Mishnah was written almost as if it was lacking some explanation, and now it's going to fill in the chaser, fill in what was lacking. Here's how v'hachiktani. This is how you really should read the Mishnah. Ein bin arba'asar shebadar rishon la arba'asar shebadar sheni ella mikra megillah umatanot. Okay, so what did it just add in? Okay, matanot, which is actually, if you look at our Mishnah, hol inyan hesped v'ta'anit, but regarding a prohibition of Hesped V'Ta'anit, which means, for example, now, when we get to Yud Dalet and Tetvav Adar Aleph, will we finish davening around 90 seconds earlier? Why? Because they won't say Tachanun. On Yud Dalet and Tetvav of Adar Aleph. Which means, what about regarding a prohibition of Hesped V'Ta'anit? Which means, are these considered to be holiday? Okay, we don't read the Megillah, we don't give Matanot, but are the meaning there's also another aspect to having a holiday. What's the other aspect? You don't have eulogies, and you don't fast on those days. Which by the way, these are issues which are mentioned in Megillah Ta'anit, right, as part of what makes something into a holiday. So it says, Zev v'zeh shavin. Regarding, they're both equal, which means that now, lo and behold, we're hearing that there are some elements of a holiday on Adar Aleph as well. The Ilu Seder Parshiot Lomairi, when it comes to Seder Parshiot here, that doesn't apply. Amr B'chibar Avin, Amr B'yochanan, Hilchatak B'shim B'gamliel, Sh'amar Mishum B'yosi. That is really the law, which again makes it sound like that only the second Adar is the real Adar. Amr B'yochanan V'shnei Mikra Echad Dorshu, they both learned from the same Pasuk, B'kol Shana V'shana, V'lezer B'yosi Savar, B'kol Shana V'shana, Ma'kol Shana V'shana, Adar HaSamuch L'shvat. That the first opinion is that what's the real Adar? The real Adar is the month that comes after Shvat. So therefore, what would Adar Sheni be? That would be the fill-in. Afkan Adar Samech L'Shvat. So even when there are two Adars, the real Adar, according to this, is like Bikol Shana V'Shana, like every year. So therefore, Adar follows Shvat. And what's the other side going to do with Bikol Shana V'Shana? Rav Shimon Gamliel Savar Bikol Shana V'Shana, Ma Kol Shana V'Shana, Adar HaSamuch L'Nisan. That he's going to say, well, if you look at the calendar every year, guess what comes right before Nisan? Adar does. So therefore, ergo, the real Adar is the one right before Nisan. Afkan Adar Samach L'Nisan. Which basically, at this point, the Gemara, I mean, you can really flip a coin now, because it sounds a little hard to determine, based on the information that we have, which argument is really a stronger argument. Which means, is Adar the month that follows Shvat? Is Adar the month which precedes Nisan? And what happens if you have 2 months over there? So which one is going to be the real one? We see arguments made for both. Again, I could say that the first one's the real one, the second one is just filler. I can say the second one is the real one, the first one's just filler. I can say both are Adar, and nonetheless Purim is in the second one. So again, I do have a bunch of different variables, which now we realize the Gemara is torturing itself more than we ever would have thought was necessary. The Gemara concludes, and it says, "Bishlama Rabbi Lezer Rabbi Yosi Mistaber Tama De'ein Marviren Al Mitzvot." The first opinion would be that you don't pass over. Sorry for using that term in this context, but you don't pass over an opportunity to fulfill a mitzvah. Which means, if the first Adar is an Adar, so as soon as that Adar comes, now we should do all the mitzvot within that month. We should read the Arba Parshio, we should have Purim, which means here you have an opportunity to do a mitzvah. But again, you can only say this if you fundamentally think that first Adar is Adar. What's the opinion of the second one, that you do pass over the first Adar, and we leave all the mitzvot to the second Adar, because Adar needs to be near Nisan? Ela Rav Shimon Gamliel, my Ta'ama, what is his rationale? Amar Rav Tavi, Ta'amad Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel misamech geula l'geula adif. That there is this concept of juxtaposing the redemption from Egypt together with the redemption of Persia. Rashi writes geula l'geula Purim l'Pesach. That means that there is some kind of connection of Purim and Pesach. And this is an idea that we've discussed in the past on various levels. That and even we made reference to it a little bit earlier, because a lot of the events, or even the main events, the main drama of the story of Purim actually took place on Pesach, which means there really is a connection between Purim and Pesach. This position over here really does encourage that juxtaposition. So what are we left with? We're left really as muddled as we were when we started, that what do we find over here? We find that there are multiple opinions, and we find just about anything that you could have thought of, somebody suggested. Okay? What do you want to call it?
You say, why don't they just give it its own name? It shows up, that one shows up every 2 years.
You're not looking to name something, are you? No. What would you name it? Pick up a name.
I don't know. Where did they come up with all the other names?
When would it be? Between our name and the sun?
There are those Rishonim who call this month Chodesh HaIbur. Okay. They do. They made up a name. They call it Chodesh HaIbur, the leap month. Okay?
To make another month.
So in the time of the Mishnah, it was before Hillel HaSheni, it's before they had the calendar, and things were much more in a state of flux than they were subsequently. So you're really posing the question, but over here it's very, very predictable. You could have had more borderline situations than the predictability that we have right now. And they did take economic conditions into consideration at that point. Exactly. How much rain really fell? Do we really need another month of winter? I mean, those are questions that sometimes they would, you know, answer on the fly, instead of having it all planned out, you know, very neatly beforehand, which made the calendar publication business like a real bummer. Yeah.
One of the reasons Adar Sheni should be the Adar is for the housewives. Pardon me, this is not women's lib. We should know that we always have 1 month between Purim and Pesach. We shouldn't get used to the idea that you have 2 months. It would be an Adar Aleph.
Well, SARMS. or this is evidence that they didn't care. Yeah.
They weren't crazy in those days, cleaning from Tesla.
Yes.
Also, was there something about Rosh Chodesh Nisan that was supposed to designate our time, our Jewish time?
Yeah, Nisan needs to be in the spring. So.
That's why, like, I asked them, why wait until then? No, not because of halachically, because she asked, like, Why did they wait till Rosh Chodesh already to decide, okay, now we're going to have Ibor? You know, why couldn't it have been before they called the Rosh Chodesh? Like, they knew already that it was everything was later here.
I'm saying they could have, yeah, but again, it really would depend how much rain fell and how much winter we had. Do we need more winter and so on?
We would have known that 4 days earlier. So that's the question.
4 days, okay, but again, sometimes they did, sometimes they didn't. Yeah. Excuse me? What, you want the bottom line? You want all the conclusions? Don't I get to torch you a little bit first?
It's enough.
It's enough already. I'm not answering. I made her wait for her apple pie a whole week. You think I'm going to answer you now? I really thought you were going to bring some in, and, you know, we would... Because it's very hard to know the bracha until you actually see something. Anyway, if you... Let's look at source number 4 now. This is the Rush. The Rush quotes the Mishnah, and where it's underlined, he writes, Nira Lomar, de Seifa Aresha Kaima. He says, it seems to me that the two clauses in the Mishnah are interrelated, which means the Seifa al Aresha Kaima. The Seifa, the second line, is dealing with the first line. Should I explain to you that in English?
Yeah.
Read the Mishnah again. Mishnah says, you read the Megillah and Adarisha, and then they... And then they made a leap year, and then you read it in the Sheni, and then he writes, and there's no difference between the first Adar and the second Adar. He goes, Nira Lomar de Seif Aresha Kaima. Hecha de Kara Megillah Basav in Adar Bashana, as Ein Bain Adar Rishon Lesheni, Ela Mikra Megillah Matanot Levyonim. The Alpha Pida Sober Rishon Srichen Lachzor Lasotim Bishani. But all the other things you have to do again, namely the Arba Parashiyot and so on, right? But what happens if you planned and you made a leap year before Adar Aleph? Right? So again, the case that he's saying, that last line of the mission, there's no difference between the two Adars, he says, is only when that first Adar already was Adar. What made it Adar? Well, for lack of anything else, I'll say that the Beit Din got up and said, or in Shul they got up and they said, they're Mekadesh, the Chodesh, and they called it Adar. They said, you know, this coming Tuesday will be Rosh Chodesh Adar. They designated it as Rosh Chodesh Adar. As Adar, you know, the days turned in Adar, it is Adar. The kid had his bar mitzvah, and the yard sites were marked, and it came, and they celebrated Purim, and then they decide subsequently to make an Adar bet. So now, that first Adar was Adar, but you still need Purim, needs to be juxtaposed to Pesach, but the first Adar was an Adar. But he writes, but what happens if they made that Adar, extra Adar, before Adar Aleph? Which means, what happens if they made that determination while it was still Shvat, or previous to this? In that case, he writes, Aval Kal... Just 1 second. Right. He says, but if you did it beforehand, then that first Adar has no characteristics of Adar, and he's of the opinion that first Adar, and you see the words that he calls it over here, he goes, that is Shvat Bet, if you will, and not Adar Aleph. Okay, so if you now follow, 1 second, is there any logic to what the Rosh is saying over here? The Rosh is saying is that the whole discussion that we had among the Tanayim was only in one particular case. And what was that particular case? If it already was Adar Aleph, but if it wasn't Adar, meaning it already was designated as Adar, but if it was not designated as Adar, so then it's just simply not Adar. That's the opinion of the Rosh, and therefore, correctly as you've noted, in our calendar, even though it says Adar Aleph, the Rosh would probably disagree and say, why are you writing Adar Aleph? It's not Adar Aleph. And therefore, it sounds like, according to the Rosh, all the other questions that I posed from the beginning simply fall off. And if you accidentally read the Megillah, obviously you have to read it again, but as far as he's concerned, you can't read the Arba Parshiyot. The kid who had his bar mitzvah, he's not bar mitzvah. And so on and so forth. Because according to what we just now read, it sounds indeed that the first Adar is simply not Adar on our calendar. It's really Shvat Bet. Or if you prefer to call it Chodesh HaIbur, it is a leap month, but it's not Adar as far as he's concerned. Yeah.
Is it bar mitzvah? It's a function of time. In other words, it's how many.
Right. How many moons have passed?
How many moons exactly?
Right.
So it doesn't matter what you call the month. The kid would be.
When was he born? So now again, we're going to have various issues. We're going to have various issues regarding the bar or bar mitzvah question. At which point does the person become 13 or 12? So that is an issue. Yeah. And the yurtzeit.
Like a first year, you do stop saying.
And then we have. Forget it when you stop saying yurtzeit. When you stop saying yurtzeit is irrelevant. But right. People only say yurtzeit for 11 months. Sorry. People only say Kaddish for 11 months as to not imply that their parents or loved ones may have needed a full 12 months of spiritual purification. Okay?
They're 12 or 12 out of 13.
So the question then becomes, you know, very good, at which the person who lost their parents this year, right, at which point do they have which point is the yurtzeit? Is the yurtzeit on the calendar day? Is the yurtzeit after 12 months? How do you count a yurtzeit? So I'm saying this is another part of the same problem. Let's finish up the rush. The Mishnah follows up Shimon Gamliel. The Hachikamar ain't been arba asar shel adar rishon arba asar shel adar sheni. Ela mikra gilamet and odiyovim hala hesperatayin shneim shavin v'chein halacha, which is interesting because then he adds in, even though he told us that it's really shvat. But he did say that when it came to things like Hesped and Ta'anit, then they're both equal, and that's the halacha. So it is a little interesting because even though he had convinced us earlier that it's only Shvat, then if it's Shvat Bet, then why exactly is Hesped or Ta'anit prohibited? So even though the Rush sounded real convincing, I'm not convinced that he was convinced because he leaves this other element open. Clear? The Mordechai, ein bin adarish la adar sheni ela mikra megillah matanat lev yonim hala inyan hesped betanit zev zeshavin amar Rav Meir. Sorry, Rav Meir is Rav Meir Mewurtenberg. Haynu kodem shabat la megillah ta'anit aval bezman hazeh kevin shabat la megillah ta'anit v'hu tru kol yamim ein osrim behesped betanit ela b'chanuk of Purim dimit parsema milta denisa. So the thing about Megillah Ta'anit that I mentioned, well, suddenly the Mordechai just brought that right back into the discussion. The reason that there was a prohibition didn't have that much to do with the nature of Adar Aleph, but rather had to do with an ancient Takana, which was found in Megillah Ta'anit, that said that on the 14th and 15th, you don't fast and you don't have Hespedim on that day. Of course, it's listed on Megillah Ta'anit. But there's a well-known issue in Halacha, and what's that? That Megillat Ta'anit was canceled. It was canceled, which means a lot of the days in Megillah Ta'anit are days which were significant for Bayit Sheni, which have no significance to us in our calendar, so Megillah Tanit is canceled. Whether it's 100% canceled or whether it's 98% canceled, because there may be certain things there that still affect us today, including the day before Purim, including some other issues. So he's saying, no, that meaning he just brought this Megillah Tanit into the discussion. I'm not going to bring it any further in than this. I just want you to see that that's this whole other issue that you never would have even suspected as part of the discussion. And he writes, "Aval Yudal," where it's underlined again, "Aval Yudal the Adar Rishon Kevin Delay Pirsum Enisa." There's no issue of Pirsum Haneis like by Purim itself. "Velo Mikra Megillah Lo Adif Misham Megillah Ta'anit Umutar BeHesped VeTa'anit." It was canceled. There is no longer any Megillah Ta'anit. So therefore, it's not the nature of Adar Rishon which he's concerned with, but rather he was more concerned with an ancient takana. So he understood the prohibition of fasting and eulogies having to be this remnant of an ancient takana, but not having to do with the nature of Adar Rishon itself. Yeah.
Pirsumi says an expression used with Hanukkah. Is it usually used with Purim?
Yes, it's used with Purim as well, yeah.
Okay.
The Abu Draham. The Imtia Shana Mu'uberet. In a leap year, but Arbasa v'Chamishas Tav Adar Rishon mitpalim kamo biyom bet shel Purim. He's saying that the davening, assuming he doesn't live in a walled city, right? He lives in a, so therefore, Shushan Purim was a day where you don't say Al Hanisim, you also don't say Tachanun. It's not a holiday, but it's not a regular day. It falls someplace in the middle. So he says that the 14th and the 15th of Adar Rishon have the same status as Shushan Purim regarding davening, if that wasn't clear enough. But again, he's telling you that it really does have some kind of status, and therefore that will once again that would once again have an implication regarding the nature of the entire month. And then he adds one more thing, which maybe you want to, one more thing that you may want to remember is your mother's custom. And he writes, "V'gam hanashim nehogot shelo lasot behem melacha," and women also have a custom not to do melacha on Yud Dalet and Tetvav of Adar Aleph, which again is pointing out towards some kind of nature of holiday and not simply a Megillat Ta'anit type of thing as we saw in the Mordechai. So again, now see. You had previously seen among the Tanayim difference of opinions regarding what is the nature of these 2 months, and now you're finding the exact same thing among the Rishonim, difference of opinions about what exactly is the nature of the month, which means we don't have a great deal of clarity as of yet. So let's take a look at a couple of things in the Shulchan Aruch, and hopefully this will get us a little bit closer to some kind of understanding.
Outside Jerusalem nowadays, they don't say Tachanun on Shulchan
Aruch? Correct. Source number 7, this is the Shulchan Aruch in the section that deals with, again, this is the section that deals with reading the Megillah. This is Purim, Tafresh, Tzadi Zayin. Yom Yudalid v'tetvav sheba Adar Rishon, ein noflim al pneihem, you don't say Tachanun on Yudalid v'tetvav. Ve'ein omrim mizmor, yanecha Hashem b'yom tzara. Why? Because it's not a Yom Tzara. It's not a day of difficulty. Va'asur behesped v'ta'anit, and one doesn't have eulogies and so on. Which means we have a couple of different expressions over here that this day, right, or these days, Yud Dalet and Tetvav on Adar Aleph do have some kind of specialness to them, and this would point that not just the Megillah Ta'anit issue as we had seen. In the Mordechai, this would seem to point that the Shulchan Aruch is ruling that this first Adar has some kind of status. Avol shar dvarim ein nohagin behem, but all the other things don't apply. V'yesh omrim da'af v'hespetanat mutarim, but some say even the hespetanita mutar. And now you realize that this difference of opinion we found in the Rishonim has now actually found its way to the Shulchan Aruch. The Ramah ends v'minok isvar Rishona. The Ramah adds that the minhag for Ashkenazim is like the first expression that really there is some kind of status to Adar Aleph. Yesh shomrim shechayiv l'arbo b'mishtev v'simcha b'yudalad she'ba'adar rishon. Some say you should even make a little bit of a party on what we call Purim Katan. Ve'ein nogin came. Some say this, but it's not our custom. So once again, we have again another expression of this difference of opinion. Mikom makom yirbir ktsat besuda kedei letzeit yidei machmirim. You should nonetheless make a little bit more festivity than a regular day, just in order to be machmir, v'tov lev mishte tamid, and it's always good to be happy. Right? Okay, so, again, Right. There's a lot of, as you can imagine, interesting comment on this, which I've spared you. Shulchan Aruch and the laws of Ta'anit. Kishira yom shemet aviva uimo ba'adar. What happens if you have a yahrzeit in Adar? V'hashana ma'uberet, and now you get to a leap year. So now again, we're getting to this question of what is the real Adar. It says, yit'aneh ba'adar bet. So the Machaber of Yosef Karo, Halacha v'Sfaradim, says, which is the real Adar? Adar bet. The Rama writes, Haga, the Rama adds, v'yeshomim, the yit'aneh b'rishon. And some say, no, that you should do it in the first one. And he quotes the Maharil and the Marimint, which are real classic foundations of Ashkenazic custom. And then he continues, Im lo shemet b'shanata ibur, unless that they passed away in a shanavat ibur, ba'adar sheni, that they died in Adar sheni, da'az no gin latanot b'sheni. Because then, if they died in Adar sheni, then the yahrzeit would obviously be in, I say obviously, even that's not obvious, but obviously would be in Adar sheni. V'chein amigir latanot b'rishon. And the custom, he adds, is to fast in the first one. Miu yesh machmim latanot b'shnehim. But some have a custom of treating both days as the yahrzeit, both in Adar Aleph and in Adar Bet. And if you look in source number 9, the Gra adds, Kein hu ikar medina. That is really the proper law. Which means the Gra is saying, well, if they're both Adar, and you have yahrzeit in Adar, then guess what? You have two yahrzeits. Then you can say, hold it. If I get two yahrzeits, why don't I get two Purims? So it says, no, because Purim needs to be near Pesach. But the fact that we found a pasuk to tell us that Purim needs to be more near Pesach is the only thing that prevented us saying that Purim was supposed to be in the first Adar. So the Gra seems to be pointing us, again, I'm just keeping coming back to this issue, which is the real Adar, even though there may very well be extenuating circumstances here, which I'm about to explain. But it sounds at this point as if what we're being told is, what's the real Adar? The real Adar is both. And if the real Adar is both, and I have yahrzeit in Adar, so therefore it should be both, one would have to keep. The Mishnah Brura says, Shemet aviv o imo ba'adar v'ashana mu'uberet, source 10, Ratzalomer shebishana shemet bo aviv lo haya shana mu'uberet, uvishanim ba'im achakach itrami shana mu'uberet, so now came a leap year. Data machaber distam Adar hu Adar sheni. The first opinion that we saw was the machaber, which is the real Adar, Adar bet. V'yeshim lehefech, and some say the opposite, v'gam yesh be'einenu tam de'ein mavirin ala mitzvot. And there's also this consideration that we had seen earlier used in the Gemara regarding, remember that opinion that Purim should be in the first Adar, that you don't skip over mitzvot? There's some say that that's a consideration here as well, but you can only have that consideration if you make one fundamental assumption, and what is that? That they are both considered to be Adar. The Mishnah Berurah in 11, when he wants to explain the custom that says that you should keep both, Miyesh machmim latanot b'shneim, ayin b'mogen avram, shemasik de'im kibel lav b'neder latanot yom shemet bo aviv o rabo, mi'chiyuv latanot b'shneim. And this now will begin to hint at to us what this one of the other considerations is over here. And that is not necessarily an indication of the essence of Adar Aleph, but this may be an issue of the laws of vows. Which means when you make a vow about something, vows are very powerful. So if somebody says that I am going to have a fast on the day that, you know, a particular relative passed away, I take it upon myself. Vows work in a way which is understood by the average person, not necessarily in terms of what is absolute truth in heaven. Which means the testing ground for a vow, when you said a vow, is how does the guy on the street understand it? So therefore, it may very well be that since the printed calendar, say Adar, and a person's yahrzeit is an Adar, and he says, I'm going to fast on the yahrzeit, so therefore that is the yahrzeit as well. And this may not be an indication about the nature of Adar Aleph, but this may be an indication about the nature of vows. Okay, that's what I'm pointing out of here, meaning that was this other consideration that you didn't necessarily see coming, that some of the issues that are being brought up over here may not tell us about the nature of Adar Aleph one way or the other, but may be some side consideration. So over here, the person who made a vow and said that they'll fast on the day that their rabbi or parent passed away needs to do both. And that's what the Gra is saying is really the proper law. He says, what should you do? he says that the first time a person has a yahrzeit in a leap year, whatever they did that time, that's what they should consider continue doing, which really takes us back to the laws of minhagim, or somehow like vows, which is why when you do a minhag, you normally say b'li neder, so that you're not stuck with this particular minhag. So he's saying whatever you did the first time may very well be binding upon you. Then he continues, and where it's underlined, and he says that what about the first time? If somebody comes and asks the rabbi, okay, the first time is coming up, what do I do? Im ba limlach ketzad asot, if somebody comes and asks the rabbi, what should I do? What does the Mishnah Berurah say is the right thing? Hanachon lomer lo shit nebishtehim. Which means he's leaning towards, oh, the proper thing is really both. But you don't have to do it that way. But it's actually adds an interesting consideration in the next line. But in the olden days, we discussed this also in the past once, in the olden days, only one person would say Kaddish and Shul. And there are certain people that kill off all of their relatives just so they can get up and they can daven for the Yamud and say Kaddish and so on. There are many mass murderers in Shul. You know, and I tell the Gabayim, I say, when somebody says, you know, I'm a Chiyuv, so I said, you're allowed to ask them for who? Because it's only considered to be a chiyuv if the person has yahrzeit for a parent, right, on that day. Otherwise, it's not a chiyuv. I mean, again, there are people who like to daven, so as I said, they've killed off... okay, I'll stop. But, but he says, but if, let's say only one person said Kaddish, but he writes... Person wants to fast both months, great, fast both months, but they don't have to let him say Kaddish more than once. Because as I said, which means they don't let him daven for the Omen more than once. Which means you want to fast? Wonderful, fast, because that's a vow that you made. But don't get fooled into thinking that both of these days are your yahrzeit. They're not both. Which also is, I think, interesting. Next. Just one more second. If you can skip for a moment, in Yeridea, source 16, the Shulchan Aruch has the same discussion, but here is in the laws of Avelut. This was in the laws of Davening. Now in the laws of Avelut, it comes to the same discussion, and it may be slightly different, because what did the Ramah say? Again, what did the Ramah tell us over here? The Mechaber said it's really the...
second.
Really the second. And what did the Ramah say? Again, what did the Ramah say? It sounded like he said both, right? So let's look now at what I say, source 16. Ramah, ve'imetu ba'adav, v'nit abrashana, ha'ikar letano ba'adar harishon. First he quotes an opinion, now says the main is the first one. Afal pishayesh cholkin, some disagree, kachu ikar, ve'imetu ba'shanata, and so on. At the end he writes... So we do have some confusion as to what the Mechaber, what the Ramah really believed here. Did he believe the first, the second, both? The Mechaber sounds like he says the second. The Ramah sounds like he says the first. The Gra says both. The Mishnah Berurah says both is better, but this may be for a second consideration. The consideration may really be fasts. Let's look at source number 12. This will deal with our bar mitzvah question. Im na'ar echad nolad b'kaftet la'adar rishon. Our first child was born on the 29th, source 12. The first child was born on the 29th of Adar Aleph, in a leap year. Mishanat mu'uberet. V'na'ar echad nolad b'adar sheni b'echad bo. And the second child was born... Right, which means you could have twins like this. You could have twins where the first twin is born the 29th of Adar Aleph, and the second twin is born Rosh Chodesh of Adar Bet. So 13 years from then, there's only one Adar. So when are there two bar mitzvahs? A month apart. The younger one will be bar mitzvahed, right, 29 days before the older one. So much so for your counting moons over here. So this... One was born the 29th of Adar Aleph. The second one was born on Rosh Chodesh of Adar Bet. 13 years from then, there's only one Adar. So the one who's born on Rosh Chodesh Adar Bet, so his bar mitzvah will be Rosh Chodesh Adar. The one who's born the 29th of Adar, his bar mitzvah will be on the 29th of Adar. So therefore, the one who's older will be bar mitzvahed 29 days later. Isn't that great? So now you have something to ask by the Shabbos table. I'm sure it has.
It's what's going to happen.
It's not midnight shkia, but okay, but okay. Okay, so you enjoyed this. If you enjoyed this, I can assure you there's all kinds of more questions like this. They torch themselves with these kinds of issues. Okay, let's go on. He says, "V'shana yud gimel einu uberet oto shana lad bekaftet la'adar rishon sarich lahamtin ad kaftet la'adar bishnat yud gimel yot ben yud gimel shana oto shana lad acharav be'achad ba'adar sheni yeh ben yud gimel shana kevin shidi achad ba'adar shel shanat yud gimel." Okay, which basically is what I told you, where the younger child has the bar mitzvah first. Haga, the Rama adds, Mish nolad ba'adar, v'naseh bar mitzvah b'shanat ha'ibur. So when is your bar mitzvah going to be? When is the real Adar? He writes, Eino naseh bar mitzvah ad Adar hasheni. He only becomes bar mitzvah in Adar bet. So this would be, again, considered to be, I think, a good indication that the second Adar is the real Adar. But if the second Adar is the real Adar, then why, when it came to the Yord site, did he say that you should fast on the first Adar? So we have some inconsistency over here within the Rama. We also found this tendency to say, well, maybe you should fast on both. When it came to the Yoritzai, I'd keep both of the days, which is, of course, a wonderful halachic solution. You will then, of course, obviously find those who will say that when it comes to the bar mitzvah, also to be careful about both. And bar mitzvah boys, whether you know this or not, generally put on the tefillin a little bit before the bar mitzvah, so you'll then find poskim saying, so put the tefillin on 1 month before, just in case it really is bar mitzvah, just in case that early month is, even though it sounds very clearly from this one that this is once again indication that it's the second Adar, which is the real Adar, and not necessarily the first. Good. The Mugen of Rome writes, "Mashem the imshanat yudgimu mu'uberet." If the 13th year is a leap year, otoshin alad ba'adar rishon, v'naseh ben yudgimu ba'adar rishon, v'kach katav b'levush, v'tzarech iyan do hamisha nolad b'shanat pshuta, einu na'aseh bar mitzvah adadar sheni. He goes, hold it. Why, if somebody was born in a regular year, is it not? Which means he's saying, why isn't that first adar also an adar? Right, kamach katav b'hagav im ken gamze afal pishin alad b'shanat ibur mikom makom. He goes. Okay, let me try this again. He goes, Tzarechin, the Hamishan Alad B'Shanat Pshuta. Somebody who was born in a regular year, Einu Naseh Bar Mitzvah Ad Adar Sheni, does not become Bar Mitzvah till Adar Bet. Okay? Imkain, Gam Zeh Afal Pishan Alad B'Shanat Ibur. He goes, if that's the case, if you were born in a leap year, Mikomakom Eshtakare Ta Shanat Pshuta. This goes up to your consideration in terms of how you count time. And he says, but the last year was a regular year. That means V'Naseh Ben Yud Bet Ba'Adar Stam, which means he became 12 in a regular Adar, imkain loma lulo yud gimel ad shenat Adar sheni, which means you're not going to have a full, now to be honest over here, it's not a full solar year. It's not a full solar year, he says, but it's not a full year, which really gets to another consideration. How do you count a year? What's a year? Is a year based on a lunar year or based on a solar year? When you get from one Adar to the next, from Adar, regular Adar to Adar Aleph, I would say is a full year. He's claiming it's not a full year, which means he's also throwing in the solar consideration over here, or counting, what? Yeah, or counting other things, which you can now imagine the kind of secondary literature which we then went and tried to figure out what in the world the Mugen was talking about. But here you see that he's even raising the question, if a person should ever have a bar mitzvah in Adar Aleph or not. And he says, well, it seems to me, therefore, that in this case, this kid also should have his bar mitzvah in Adar Sheni. Even if he was born in Adar Aleph, most poskim have rejected this Mugen of Rum, but at least you see that it's there.
Why wouldn't that be consideration for the Yortzeit, saying Kaddish?
I told you, with the Yortzeit, it may actually be a consideration of the Nedir as well, and this other aspect, and not just a consideration of what is the real month. The Mishnah Berurah
for the fasting, the Nedir would not be the Yortzeit itself. You don't have to fast.
Correct. Yortzeit. Correct.
So that's not. It wouldn't be an issue of Nedir.
I understand. I understand. Right. I understand why they were told that. Source 14, and that's really following. And that's really following the Gra, because again, what it's claiming that position. This all goes back to the initial question that I raised: what is the nature of this first month? If I say it really is Adar, and we did see enough opinions that felt that way, so now you can understand why somebody would say that. Mishnah Berurah Siman Nun Hey, Source 14, Ad Katet Adar Demiud Tema Sheyichshava Adar Rishon Shlanu B'Makom Shvat. Because I could have thought that this really is Shvat, but I don't end up saying that. I hope you got that. Just one second. What else do you want to see here?
Of course,
look in source 15, the Mishnah Berurah says, the kid who becomes bar mitzvah, right, when we get into Adar Rishon, Kamash Malan, what now is my conclusion? The Adar Rishon, lo nikra Adar, ela chodesh ha'ibur. That's, you looked for that name, that other name. He goes, no, the fact that the bar mitzvah, you wait for the second Adar, what does it now this tell me about the first Adar? That would seem to be that the first Adar is not Adar. So what is it? We're not going to call it Shvat Bet. So here he calls it, b'met chodesh ha'ibur. It is a leap month. That's what it's called. It's a leap month. For lack of better term, we call it Adar. Why do we call it Adar? Because there was once upon a time that it was Adar Aleph, which if we go back to the Rosh's consideration. Once upon a time, it really was called Adar. Shrein Korinata Megillah ba'Adar Rishon v'anan ve'inon Yud Gimel Shanim Shlemim. We want to get to 13 complete years, and in order to do that, you need to get to Adar Bet. Okay, let's see what else we can do here before we stop. Source 16 we saw. 17, Rav Moshe has to explain what do you do if you have a yard site, which you can read that as your homework. Source 18, Rav Vosner. You know what, I'll just read the end of, I'll read a little bit of what Rav Moshe has. The second part of the tshuva, by the way, in source 17, which is not here on your page, he does deal with this question of a leap year about how you know when your 12 months are up, which means do you count this month or not count the month? So that's all, that I left out for now. He writes where it's underlined towards the bottom, the Ramah is machmir to fast for both, but the Ramah in another place only seems to consider that one of these days is the real day. He came to the conclusion that both of them, but as I told you, that may have been because of a consideration of laws of vows. Which means, but when the Shach brings it on the Halacha, he says, not as some kind of chumra, he really thinks that you need both, which as I told you, the Gra followed that as well. That when it on the one hand, when it comes to bar mitzvah, he's not a bar mitzvah till the second month, kidach katav harama, right, by Simon and Hay that we saw, va'av shesh chokim heim kulan dechukim. Even though those differ, those who argue with this are really, you know, pushing it, and it's not really, it doesn't make sense. U'mash min loshen rova poskim dehu midin vada shlo nase bar mitzvah ad adar sheni v'tzarech in b'zeh ach lamasa enu nogeyazeh. Which means, he says, there are those who will claim that when it comes to bar mitzvah, only the second Adar is the real Adar. So what Rav Moshe is really grappling with is the inconsistency. That when it comes to a yard site, we are concerned about the first. When it comes to the bar mitzvah, we just say it's the second one and we're not concerned. Which leads us to the Shevet Halevi, which is Rav Vosner. Which, of course, you notice the date of the tshuva, he writes, Rosh Chodesh Adar Aleph, Tavshin Samach, which is not all that long ago. Hinek vado itziyah lefaneinu shilat chacham, yelet shenolad b'shnat pshuta, b'shloshim l'chodesh shvat, shehu aleph d'Rosh Chodesh Adar. You've asked if these things really happen. Of course they happen. Kid was born on Rosh Chodesh Adar, v'naseh bar mitzvah b'shenam u'beret, and his bar mitzvah is going to be on a leap year. So when will his... The fact that it was Rosh Chodesh Adar, but it was the last day of Shvat, is he bar mitzvah? So when will he be bar mitzvah? Okay, im nase bar mitzvah ki yom hulado lifnei yugimol shana dahinu b'lam lechodesh shvat echad rosh chodesh adar aleph o kedat hagon binyan tzion chelak aleph zemikof nun aleph tidat od nase rak bar mitzvah biyom aleph to rosh chodesh adar bet, which means that he did. There is an opinion, the binyan tzion is of Yaakov Etlinger, who was of the opinion that no, when it comes to the bar mitzvah, you have to wait till adar bet, which again is this consideration of counting time, and he basically ignores that opinion, and he doesn't think that the Binyan Tzion faithfully recorded the opinion that he claimed to have been, and he just doesn't agree. Let's just get the next page where it's underlined. And I've also heard that is the opinion of Maril Diskin and Rav Shmuel Salant with Rav Yerushalayim, va'amam kedei lechshosh lagon bal binyan tzion u'deime, and those that agree with him ostensibly, kedei lachmir shelo lachziko legadol b'davar shu lachmir kon lahotziya cherim chedomeh, aval lahakir shelo lachziko legadol kigon leinyan chiyuv tefillin u'chedomeh hadavanot l'atasovrim demi Milamit Shvat Adar Aleph to Rosh Chodesh Naseh Godol Kanal. Basically, he's saying is that, you know, if you want to be Mach, again, if you want to say it's till Rosh Chodesh, but you can't be lenient at all on that, which is you don't want to count him for a minyan. It's one thing, but the kid should be putting on tefillin and doing all things required of a Gadol beforehand. And then Bet, he says, Va'asher sha'al inyan nolad ba'adar tov shemem zayin, shanaser bar mitzvah shana rak ba'adar sheni, ha'im tzarech lachmir le'inyan tefillin, shehudi ha'raita mi'adar rishon, o'nema she'achra'at rabbeinu harama, hu l'kula u'lacham. Which means when the Rama says that the kid is not bar mitzvah until Adar Bet, is that only l'chumra is also l'kula. So, okay, this kid doesn't have to put on tefillin yet, because he's not really bar mitzvah. So he says, look, the law really is that we say that the second Adar is the real Adar. But he says, okay, so what do you lose by putting on tefillin? Kids anyway put on tefillin earlier, let him put on tefillin earlier, which means he knows that the real Adar is the second Adar regarding bar mitzvah, right? But he says, be machmir anyway. The last point that he has over here is interesting. He writes, v'inim mishenichnas Adar marbim b'simcha, v'adai pashtut halacha rak mi'adar bed. which I'm sure many, many people... The custom is they'll already sing Mishanichnas Adar by Adar Aleph as well, but he says it's clear that it's by Adar Bet. Taha Kasav Rashi Tanit Mishanichnas Adar Yemei Nisima Yulisro Purim VePesach VeZeba Adar Bet. And then he goes back to our issue. So you didn't think that this would also have a nafkamina, have a practical difference? When are you Nichnas Adar Mabim B'Simcha? It's also the first Adar, but as far as I can tell. Collectively, the Jewish people already get happy by Adar Aleph. So what did we see? We saw a range of opinions. The range of opinions that we saw among the Tanaim, we then see not as clear, but among the Rishonim as well, we find different opinions about what is the nature of this first Adar. Regarding halacha, lemaisa, bottom line, all the mitzvot of Adar, we do in Adar Bet. Reading the four parshiot, obviously Purim and Shushan Purim, everything is in Adar Bet. Regarding Adar Aleph, we don't say Tachanun and don't have eulogies on Yudalit and Tetvav. The Mordechai had claimed that was just a remnant from Megillah Ta'anit. The others tend to disagree. And even the Rush, who had said that the first Adar is essentially Shvat Bet, even he agreed you don't have eulogies and you don't say Tachanun. So why that would be, that, as I said, was an indication of somewhat of a lack of consistency within the position of the Rush. We find regarding Bar Mitzvah, the second Adar is the real Adar, which means the thing which was confusing in all this was really the issue of Yartzeit. Because when it came to Yartzeit, there we found people saying the first, right? Even though the Mechaber, by the way, is quite consistent. The Mechaber says it's the second one. So Sfaradim really do have consistency on this. It was only the Ashkenazim who seem to have a lack of consistency where they are concerned about the Yartzeit in the first as well. And we saw the Groh and the Shach and others saying that you really need to keep both. But as I said, that may not be an indication necessarily of what is the nature of Adar, but that may be an indication about the power of a vow and the power of a minhag, and therefore following the vernacular of somebody says, oh, my yartzeit's an Adar, so people consider this to be Adar, so therefore it may attach, from the laws of a vow, it may attach itself, but not. What do you do? So we saw the Mishnah Berurah said, and I didn't read the whole thing, that if a person the first year the yartzeit came out in Adar, and they Adar Aleph, they ignore it completely, they only keep Adar Bet. So that's perfectly fine. If a person asks what to do, the Mishnah Berurah leans towards it's better to tell them both. But he did continue to say in the next couple of lines, which I conveniently skipped, that if a person normally fasts and they're a little weaker, and he sort of says, okay, so don't encourage them to, which means he didn't see this as his absolute law. The Vilna Gaon said that's the Ikar Medina, but again, is it the Ikar Medina because of what he believes is the nature of Adar Aleph, or is it because of the nature of vows? And the Vilna Gaon, who wrote very concisely, did not show his hand in this, but my suspicion is it's not because of the nature of Adar Aleph, it's more so because of the laws of vows.
So again, the bottom line, my father died in Adar Bet.
Yes.
So I have a relative that keeps both, but I only keep one because he died in Adar Bet.
There's a great deal of logic in this, and your homework for next week is to read that last tshuva from Rav Ovadia in Source 21, because part of the issue that he brings up is when Moshe died. If Moshe died, by the way, there is an opinion he didn't die in Adar at all. Whether he died in Shvat, whether he died in Adar, whether he died in Adar Aleph, when he died in Adar Bet, and what you do, although we do have to admit that Rav Ovadia, being a Sfaradi, will lean the same way as the Mechaber leans, that Adar Bet is the real Adar anyway, so he will be less concerned with Adar Aleph Yortzeitz, but according to most opinions, you would be on very firm ground.
I'm on
Yes. Okay.